Chapter 31. Owen. I watch as Zara grips her source crystal, her face a mask of concentration, just before she hurls another ball of mage fire at the ram. I follow it with my eyes, hoping it will make purchase this time. To our disappointment and that of the soldiers, it flashes as it hits the metal, the spell proving ineffectual once again. Looking back at Zara, I can tell she's beginning to tire.
"They're going to break through!"
I shout over the deafening sound of the ram. I wish we could do more, but at the rate they're going, we'll be dead in minutes if we don't retreat to safety.
"We have to return to the city and mount a defense there! Zara!"
Wearing a determined look despite her exhaustion, she stops chanting another spell, but I shout her name again.
"Zara! Stop!"
Her eyes are pleading. She knows that once the doors are broken, it's only a matter of time before the entire city is overrun.
"Owen! I know!"
I say, glancing over the edge one last time. Cracks have already begun to spiderweb on both doors, the lines growing longer with each strike against the shivering stone.
"Let's get off this wall!"
We abandon our cover, Talon following behind, and make for the stairwell, flying down the steps two at a time and racing for the street inside the cavern. We call for every nightingale we pass to follow us. The noise of the battering ram is even louder on this side, and each concussive blast causes the civilians in the area to cry out in fright.
"Get these people out of here!"
I shout, grabbing the attention of a cluster of unsure-looking soldiers.
"Tell them to head to the back of the city! Now!"
In that moment, they don't care that I'm a ranger's apprentice, only that I'm on their side. They rush off to do as I command. We push through the gaggle of people and find Boris attempting to marshal a defense. His face flushes a deep scarlet as he screams for his men to get in line.
"Form up!" he bellows, brandishing his sword like a baton. "Get in line, you miserable sods! Can't you see they're getting through?"
Sure enough, the cracks have become visible on this side of the doors as well. The bearded man sees us and motions for us to help him with his task. We oblige, gathering the rushing soldiers and organizing them into a bristling line of spears 5 men deep. Elias joins us as well, materializing from the other side of the wall with his bow strung across his back and his long belt knife in hand. He also carries a short sword with a serrated edge and a large cross guard, a sword breaker. Falling into line behind the spearmen, bows and magic at the ready, I turn to Zara and frown.
"I thought you said the Conclave wasn't involved in this attack."
She shakes her head, giving me a look of concern. "Sylvania Holden would never be involved with something like this," she says. "Unfortunately, the Conclave isn't totally free from politics. It's possible that King Æthelgar had purchased the loyalty of a mage or two, turning them against the will of the Circle."
"Well, whatever the case, I'd say we're finished."
Talon grimly pulls out an arrow and knocks it to his bowstring.
"I don't see us getting out of this one."
"The battle's not over yet," I point out. He shrugs.
"If you say so. I'm just trying to be realistic, mate."
The crack widens with another boom, chunks of stone crumbling away and revealing sunlight on the other side. Boris steps out in front of our defenses and turns to face us all, sword in hand.
"These kingsmen want to come into our city and take everything from us."
His voice is hoarse, but he shouts loud enough for everyone to hear.
"They think they can come in here and put us down like dogs. But that's not going to happen because they're slaves, fighting for a king who doesn't care about them. We fight for our homes and our families, to defend our very lives. We have something worth fighting for."
A handful of men cheer at Boris's words, but most just stand in line, nervously clutching their weapons. Archers have taken up positions in the buildings behind us, crouching on balconies and the eaves of homes. That should offer us some support when the enemy breaks through. The pounding continues, pulverizing the doors over and over again, and it isn't long before the tip of the magical spear-like ram pokes through, illuminating the entryway with a pale blue light. "One more hit will do it," I think, readying my bow in anticipation. "Light, give us strength." The ram cranks back, preparing itself for another blow, then slams once more into the doors, this time punching a hole wide enough for their troops to get through. Dust showers down on us as a large portion of the leftmost door crumbles, allowing a stream of soldiers to charge the gap. They scream wildly as they rush into Dunmar City, flooding the entryway like a sea of crimson and steel.
I loose my arrow and quickly redraw as the other archers pepper the invaders with a haphazard volley. Many of the soldiers fall beneath the barrage, but they are replaced almost immediately by more. Wave after wave of the attackers surging through the opening, their shields driving the way. The clangor of metal on metal rings out as they collide with the nightingales, crashing into our defenses with brutal force. The battle cries devolve into a chaotic torrent of screams as both sides stab at each other with sword and spear. Talon and I lob arrows over the line while Zara throws balls of magical flames. These seem to be effective as the enemy soldiers are pressed closely together. Mage fire spreads wherever she throws it, engulfing dozens of men at a time and creating a haze of smoke that smells of burning flesh. Out of the corner of my eye I can see Elias fighting alongside us, plugging holes that appear in the line by lunging forward with his knife and swordbreaker. He moves like a force of nature, efficiently meting out death wherever he goes, and I can't help but feel awed by his abilities, watching him deliver blow after killing blow.
"I'm almost out," Talon says, grasping one of the last of his few remaining arrows.
"Yeah," I reply, "me too."
We finish off our quivers and discard our bows, pulling out melee weapons and heading in toward the line. My father's hatchet, a familiar weight in my hand, helps me to feel that he is somehow with me as I head into the blood-soaked fray. It isn't difficult to find places to help. Several holes appear in the line as defenders are cut down. Locating an opening, I jump in and immediately engage a knight that looks to be drenched in blood. His chainmail glistens red in the low light of the cave, and his eyes glitter with bloodlust through the slits of his helm. He stabs at me but misses, a nearby soldier jostling him and causing his thrust to go wide. I bat the blade aside with the flat of my hatchet, almost knocking the sword from his hand. He lets out a muffled grunt and tries to correct, twisting and bringing his blade up to slice my front. I dodge, then throw my weight against his chest, driving my shoulder into him and knocking him off balance. He staggers, and I swiftly bring my hatchet down, chopping him in his unarmored neck. Blood sprays and he goes down, falling to his knees, his sword dropping to the ground. In an eye blink, though, another is there to take his place, his wild stabs attempting to disembowel me. For a moment I feel a rush of panic, fear gripping my heart as I engage this new foe. I manage to drive the wedge of my hatchet into his knee, hobbling him and sending him down as well. But another soldier immediately shoves him aside and hacks at me, fighting with reckless abandon. This is too much, I think, somehow keeping the armored man from cutting me down. I never trained for this kind of fighting. Even as I try to back away, someone pushes me from behind, preventing me from pulling back. The mass of bodies is overwhelming, the noise and the clamor paralyzing. This doesn't feel like a battle. It feels like a bloodbath, with both sides scrambling over one another, fighting desperately for survival. Men, both living and dead, are trampled beneath the chaotic brawl, the stones growing slick with gore and the press making it almost impossible to move. As I attempt to defend myself, my own allies shove me, fighting to keep themselves alive as well. There are a handful of times I nearly go down, unable to keep my balance in the mess. Time seems to slow, the corpses piling up around us as we attempt to hold back the unstoppable tide. Yet despite the overwhelming carnage, it seems that the nightingales are managing to hold their own. Zara's mage fire does an incredible job of thinning the herd as it comes through the opening, and the archers behind us continue to shoot arrows over our heads. Can we hold them here, I wonder, bringing down another foe? Do we have enough men to stop them? Scanning the battle, I can see more of the king's men coming in, an unending stream of red tabarded soldiers. Glancing up, I notice something strange upon the inner walls. Movement. 11 bloody hells, I curse, pointing up above us.
Crossbowmen have taken the walls! Look out!
Bolts begin to fly at us. At first, the defenders don't understand what's hitting them, the nightingales falling one by one to the short barbed missiles. But after a few minutes, they begin to panic, breaking away from the line and retreating back into the city.
"Hold your ground, dammit!"
Boris shouts, a bloody gash oozing on the side of his head.
"We can't let them push us back! We need to hold them here!"
No one seems to listen. The line disintegrates as crossbow bolts fly, the retreating defenders practically tripping over themselves to get away. A portion of the attackers are all too happy to finally gain ground and press their advantage, giving chase into the city proper. The rest, however, stay behind to regroup, their commanders yelling at them to reform their ranks. To my right, Talon slices one of his short swords across the neck of an enemy soldier.
"Talon!"
I call, getting his attention as the man goes down.
"Fall back to the city! The doors are lost!"
He looks around as if noticing the retreat for the first time, then nods, taking off and ducking in between two buildings. I need to find Zara, I think, scanning the mob of fleeing nightingales. I need to get her to safety. Men jostle each other, trampling their wounded comrades trying to escape. Shoving my way through the crowd, I start shouting her name, searching the battle for any sign of her blue robes. At last I spot her at the entrance of a nearby street. She stumbles as a nightingale trying to escape shoves past her, crossbow bolts raining down all around. As she falters, a man in red livery turns to approach her, a longsword gripped firmly in both hands.
"Zara!"
I yell as loud as I can, rushing to get to her side. I push my way over to intercept the man intent on killing her, my father's hatchet spinning through the air as I throw it mid-stride. He raises his sword to strike, then jerks as my hatchet embeds itself in the middle of his back. Dropping his weapon, he falls to the ground, his armor clattering as Zara screams and spins around, her eyes wide with shock. I yank my hatchet free and wrap my arm protectively around her shoulders, crossbow bolts still flying around us. Together, we flee to a narrow alley between two buildings where we are temporarily safe. "Thanks," she says, winded. Her face is drawn and pale, but she manages to give me a smile. "I owe you one." "You don't owe me anything," I reply, glancing around to make sure none of the king's soldiers have spotted us. "You've saved me more times than I can count, remember?" She gives a small, tired laugh. "That just means you can't count very high." For the moment, we rest and catch our breath, the battle continuing around us. Even with my limited understanding of warfare, I know what's coming. When the enemy begins combing through the streets, it's going to become a slaughter. Roving bands of attackers will tear the city apart, burning homes and murdering civilians. Those who remain to defend their neighborhoods will turn every alleyway and thoroughfare into a war zone. The floor of the great cavern will run red with blood. "Our only chance is to make it to the citadel," I say, wiping sweat from my forehead with the back of my hand. "That's the only place we'll be able to hold out. It's the only place we'll be safe." She nods, still breathing heavily. Gripping her talisman before her, she gestures toward the mouth of the alley. "Lead the way, Ranger. I'll be right behind you."